speak. May you shake us and help us, Father, to know where we are with you, that our walk will be closer to you than before. We bless you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Welcome each of you this morning. It's good to be together. Good to look into the Word of God. I've had this message on my heart quite a time already. And different times I thought, well, maybe I'll preach it now. And then it seemed like the Lord directed otherwise. And so I wanted to share this morning something that will probably be more than one message, but I wanted to give this morning as a basis for where we go from here. Thy kingdom come, spirit, soul, and body. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and I want us to just pay attention to what he's saying. Tom had shared the verse from verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And it's interesting, as Paul is ending his letter to the church at Thessalonica, he gives them a number of things that he's encouraging them to do. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything. Quench your spirit. Don't despise prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to the good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And then in verse 23 he says, and the very God of peace. The very God of peace. Sanctify you wholly or completely. He's wanting to do this work in us. And by the way, sanctification is instantaneous and progressive. So it's something that happens at a point in time in our lives, and it's also something that's a process that keeps happening in our lives. God sanctifies us. He sets us apart for himself. And then he continues to do that cleansing and the purifying and calling us to himself work in our life. The very God of peace sanctify you completely. Is that going to happen here in this life? Is he going to sanctify us completely here? He's working at it, but the completeness is only going to happen when we're changed. And this is the phrase I want to particularly look at this morning. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why does Paul say what he says? We believe that all Scripture is given under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It's stated specifically for a purpose, for us. Okay? So why does Paul say what he says here when he's writing to these people? That's what we want to look at this morning. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 real quickly, verse 12. And there he says, the word of God is quick, or it's alive, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And, you know, one of the things you didn't want to do was go into battle with a dull sword. You wanted your sword to be sharp when you went into battle. He says the word of God is sharper than any sword. And here's how sharp he says it is. It's able to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit. And just to help us to understand how difficult that is, He adds this, and of the joints and marrow. When you look at the inside of a bone and you see the marrow in there, is there a clear division? No, the marrow kind of goes into the bone and the bone goes into the marrow, and it's really hard to distinguish one from the other at some point, right? He's telling us that the soul and the spirit of man are difficult to distinguish between, but the Word of God is able to divide that, to distinguish, to separate. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he's talking about our thoughts and our motives. Again, something that's very difficult to distinguish between. You know, we can have a thought about something and we can think right away that it's God directing us to do that. But if we stop and we look at the motive behind it, then we might recognize that it's something beyond that. That maybe God is not directing. The word spirit that he uses over here in 1 Thessalonians is the word pneuma, the Greek word pneuma. It means air, a breath. And it's translated as ghost, Holy Ghost, life, spirit, or mind in the King James. The word soul is psuche, the Greek word. And that has very similar meaning to the word spirit. So there's some people that say man is only two parts, body and spirit, or body and soul. Soul and spirit are indistinguishable. But for our purposes, we want to look at man as having three parts this morning. So the soul then, which is also translated as heart, life, mind, us, you, it's talking about us as humanity. And then the body, which is soma, which is very easily for us to understand, except that he talks about it beyond the human body. All right. Now, let's just ask ourselves some questions. And we've talked about this a little bit already. What is man made up of? And I've got this guy up there in the corner representing humanity. When you look at him, what do you see? A body. What do you not see? That's part of him. A soul. What else do you not see? A spirit. You don't see those things when you look at this person. When I look at you, I don't see your soul. I don't see your spirit. Now, we may get a glimpse into those things within a person by their actions, right? And Jesus said that the actions that come out of the body are a result of what's happening inside us, in our soul and in our spirit. Now, did God create all of these parts of man originally? God created Adam's body. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, that spirit, and man became a living soul, a being. And we'll look at that some more. Why do you think it's so important for us to understand our makeup? Okay, our theme this year is Thy Kingdom Come. Why is it so important for us to understand who we are, what we are, if our desire is for God's kingdom to come? Anybody? If we don't understand who we are, it's going to be difficult for God's kingdom to be a part of that part of our lives, isn't it? So we want to look at that this morning. Can we separate the different parts of our being? I forgot to tell you something when we started here. Did you bring your thinking caps along this morning? You got to put them on. You got to get those on, because we're doing some heavy duty thinking here about who we are. Can you separate? If I took Tom and I brought him up here and I said, okay, we're going to look at Tom's body here, but then we're going to look at his soul and we're going to look at his spirit. Can we somehow separate those and get them separate from each other? Well, in one sense, no. In one sense, yes. And we'll look at this. Man can kill the body. A lot can be done to the body. But man cannot kill the soul or the spirit, right? So just think about these things. By the way, this is an area where false teaching came into the church in the early days. If you read in 1 John, he's talking against the idea of Gnosticism. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-M. Gnosticism. Gnosticism. The Gnostic, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, the Gnostics believed that all matter is evil. Therefore, our bodies are evil. They believed that spirit and body were totally separate. So that you could serve God with your spirit, and you could live in sin with your body, and there was no problem. You see why I asked the question, why is it important to understand who we are so that we can have God's kingdom come? If you believed that, then there would be no point in what you did as a person, as a being, humanly, right? You could, in your spirit, want God's kingdom to come, and in your body, you do whatever you want to do, and it's all good. Well, maybe we're not so far away from that as we'd like to believe. All right. How responsible, and this goes along with that, how responsible am I, are you, for each part of your being? Okay? And think about this. God made us spirit, soul, and body. And my tendency is, and I think most of our tendency is, to say body, soul, and spirit. We start at the surface and we go deep. God starts at the depth and comes to the surface, okay? We'll get into that a bit more, probably in some more messages. Am I responsible for what my body does? God made me with appetites. He made me with physical desires. So if I follow those, I'm just doing what I was made to do, right? No, we're responsible. How responsible am I for my spirit? That part deep within me. My very being, how responsible am I for that? We're going to think about some of these things. So keep that thinking cap on and we'll get to some of this more. How does each part of my being relate to the kingdom of God? Is it possible for me to want God's kingdom in my spirit and not in my body? Is it possible for me to commit my soul to God, my life, and we'll understand these things a bit more, and not my body? I think those are questions we need to think about. Now, just kind of a general definition here. Our spirit is that breath of God within every human being. God breathes life into every person. And that's why life is sacred, and that's why every life matters. And that's why when you look at someone, it's important to remember that they are God's creation. It doesn't matter how foolish they've been. It doesn't matter how messed up they are. It doesn't matter anything about them. They are God's creation. And God has breathed into them the breath of life. And so within every human heart, there is that spark of God within us, which is our spirit. Now, we'll talk about this more later, but we have to choose to allow God's spirit to connect with our spirit, and that's when we're born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, no, it's not. You don't go back into your mother's womb and get born the second time. These things are spirit. You're born of the Spirit. And when we're born again, we invite God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to come into our life and connect with our spirit, and then we choose to be led of the Spirit. Okay? Now, I want us to just look at a number of things here about this Spirit in a number of scriptures. This Spirit can refer to the Holy Spirit. And over there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, John was baptizing Jesus, and he saw the Spirit descend on Jesus. So this is the same Spirit that he's talking about. So it's a wide usage. It's not just restricted to our own spirit, but it helps us to understand a bit about it. It also includes unclean spirits. And this may be a bit difficult for you to understand, but just tuck this away in your memory. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. There was a man that had an unclean spirit. That's the same. This is all the same word. This word spirit here is all the same Greek word. So it has a big meaning, but it has to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life. It has to do with our inner being. Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Paul said, I'm going bound in the Spirit. Deep within me, I feel this within me that I need to go. I'm being pressed to go there. And I don't know what all is going to happen there, but this Spirit within me is telling me things that are very important. Things that are pushing on me. It has to do with devotion. Romans chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says here, I'm serving God with my spirit. It's that part deep within him that he had devoted to God, that he had chosen to dedicate to God and commit himself to God. And Paul labored fervently because of this fact that his spirit was connected with God's spirit. He had committed himself to God, and so his spirit was causing him to serve faithfully. It has to do with the inward. Romans chapter 2, verse 29, Paul says, look, you're not a Jew because you keep the commandments. You're not a Jew because you have the law. The one that's really a Jew is the one that has it in his heart. Deep within, in his spirit, is what he's saying. That of the heart, in the spirit. It's not an outward ceremony. It's not some outward thing that has happened. It's something that has happened at the very core of our being that changes us. And that's why God starts with the Spirit. We're made up of these three parts, but unless our spirit is connected with God's Spirit and led of God's Spirit, we're not going to get the soul and the body where they need to be. So these are all important things. Romans chapter 7, verse 6, there's the idea of freshness or new life that's involved. That we should serve in newness of the Spirit. We're not there doing things under pressure from the outside. We're doing what we do in the kingdom of God because of what has happened inside of us. Okay? You see the difference? The big difference. In some future messages, we want to look at how the tabernacle relates to all of this. Because the tabernacle very clearly pictures the three parts of mankind. And you realize that nothing that could come in from the outside could reach God. It was God reaching down to man, right? Through the mercy seat into the very presence of man. And we'll look at that later on. Now, it has to do with our minds. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded, and this is we could say bodily minded, right? When our body is in control of our life, that's death. And Paul talks about there's people whose God is their belly. What he's talking about, he's not talking just about eating, he's not talking about just our belly, he's talking about our appetites. And so he says, when we're carnally minded or when our body's in control of our life, that's death. But to be spiritually minded, to have that Spirit of God within us affecting our minds and directing our thoughts is life and peace. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 13, he talks a lot about this. If we live after the flesh, we'll die. But if we through the Spirit, and you notice these are all capitalized except the middle one there, in verse 15, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. We receive the Spirit of God, we mortify the deeds of the body, and we live. If we're led by the Spirit of God, we're the sons of God. We haven't received the spirit of bondage. That's not what God is giving to us. He's not giving us this spirit of bondage in our lives. He's giving us His Holy Spirit to free us, to direct us. The spirit of adoption. The spirit bearing witness with our spirit, connecting with our spirit in testimony of the fact that we are the sons of God. Okay? Now, God has given us our spirit. And this is an interesting verse over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. He says, the Father of spirits. The Father of spirits. And that's why I say every person in this world has spirit as part of their makeup because God has given it. Now, that doesn't mean we're saved. We're saved when we accept God's Holy Spirit, when we accept the work of Jesus Christ, His shed blood, His sacrifice for us, His resurrection. We're saved when we accept that and God's Holy Spirit comes in and connects with our spirit, that spirit that He gave us. Okay, now, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. Our personhood. When we talk about a person, what constitutes a person? Does a body constitute a person? No, and a spirit by itself does not constitute a person either. A person is one with mind, will, and emotions. Do you know God has all of those? God has each of those. They're important for us to remember. You and I each have a mind, we have a will, and we have emotions. And there is where this whole thing of thy kingdom come comes into focus. Because Jesus, or God, told us through Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And Jesus said, I came to do your will, not my will. And the feelings that we feel are a choice, not a choice on one hand, but they are a choice on another hand. And so I want us to think about this a little bit. We have a soul, every one of us. Our mind, our will, our emotions. And there's where the battle for the kingdom is fought. In that whole area of our soul. Now, our soul is our life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, is, what is your life? Your life is more than food. It's more than clothes. It's more than all of these things. What's your life? He's talking about our soul. That part of us that God has given to us. What is it? It's eternal existence. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. I mentioned this already. God says, look, Jesus says, don't be afraid of those that can kill your body. They can't touch your soul. But be afraid of the one who is able to put both your soul and your body into hell. See, he's telling us that our soul has eternal existence. A man cannot take away our eternal existence. But God is able to determine where and how our eternal existence will take place. Now, our attitudes are part of our soul. And we need to be aware of this. Acts chapter 14, verse 2. These unbelieving Jews came and they stirred up their mind and caused their minds to be evil affected. That's the same word as our soul. They're coming here and they're causing soulishness in these people, and they reject the gospel because of it. So there's attitudes that are part of our soul. Our inner being, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, he says, we're doing the will of God from our heart. Our mind, our will, our emotions are focused on doing the will of God. It's not just something that's out there somewhere. It's something that's all wrapped up within our soul, our inner being. It's our thought processes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Don't be wearied and faint in your minds. That the battle is taking place in relation to the kingdom of God. This battle is taking place within our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our thought processes. And Jesus said this, and we know this, check it out, every wrong action that we involve ourselves in is a result of a wrong thought pattern, right? So what we've just said is our soul controls our body, right? But if our God is our body, then our body's controlling our soul, and our soul is still controlling our body, right? If God is our, if God's Spirit is in our heart, controlling us, directing us, guiding us, then our soul is led by the Spirit of God, and our bodies are directed by the Spirit of God as well. Okay? It's interesting. God's emotions are also talked about in this. Hebrews 10:38. God says, if a man draws back and he doesn't live in my commandments, my soul will have no pleasure in him. You see the emotion? God's emotion? God said, I'm not going to have pleasure. I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be hurt because this person has drawn back. And so my emotions will be affected. So God has soul as well, personhood. He has emotions. He doesn't have a body. Okay, the body then is the physical part of us, the five senses. Who can tell me what those senses are? Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touch. Okay? Every one of us have these five senses within us. Now, for some people, they're affected in ways that they don't have those available. But within us, they're all there. Everybody. Okay? Our bodies are given by God. This is an interesting passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 38 to 40. God hath given it a body as it hath pleased Him. And He goes on and He talks about there's a lot of different kinds of bodies. Now, I have a body. A deer has a body. Are they the same? No, they're total different kinds, right? I have a body. A kernel of corn has a body also, right? It is a body. Are they the same? No. Now look what he says. Pay attention. All flesh isn't the same kind. There's another kind of flesh of beasts or fish or birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. And what he's saying there is there are bodies like the sun, moon, and stars. And there are bodies like are included on the earth. Terrestrial means about the earth. Celestial means in the heavens. He says there are different kinds of bodies like that. And then he goes on and he says, there's natural bodies and spiritual bodies. And he brings that up again in verse 44. There's natural bodies, there's spiritual bodies. And he's making a point. He's calling us to a lesson. God has given us bodies as it pleased Him. But the point is that we want to use our bodies for the glory of God and to the purpose of His kingdom. Interesting, over in Revelation 18, verse 13, he uses this word slaves. He's talking about how there's been merchandise made of all these things across the earth. And that word slaves there is talking about bodies. Bodies can be merchandise. And they have been over time. And here he's talking about it as well. Now, I want us to think about man in this sense. This is the inner part of man, the spirit, the breath of God, the deepest part of us, and the most eternal, the most important. It's really the basis of who we are. Then there's our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. That part comes a little closer to the surface. And we see that expressed often in people. We can't see the soul, but we can see the expression of it. When a little baby kicks and screams to have its own way, that's soulishness. When a big person kicks and screams to have their own way, that's soulishness. Just doesn't quite look the same. Hopefully not, anyway. I haven't seen Craig laying on the floor kicking and screaming, but I have seen Craig wanting his own way a few times. The same thing with myself. You know, I'm not picking on you, Craig. It's just the way it works. So our soul is our mind, our will, emotions. Then we have our body, which is touch, taste, smell, hearing, sight. This makes up who we are. Now, which part of us touches our surroundings? Our body. Everything that we see and understand about a person comes through their body, right? Either through their eyes, we see expression in their eyes. We hear expression from their tongue. We see expression from actions. It all radiates out through the body. Now, these things are important for us. They help us to understand who we are. And when people say, well, where did that come from? I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I thought that. That's the surface. That's the body. And you go down, and you can start working in the soul, in the mind and the will and the emotions, and you can find some things there that cause that. And if you keep going, you'll find some things in the spirit that are causing that as well. So these things are important for us to understand, to get a clear picture of who we are, why we're made the way we're made, and how all of these things need to work together for the kingdom of God to come and be at work in our hearts, in our lives, and in our bodies. I think it's something that we need to understand more clearly. Something that's just not so easy for us. Now you say, well, that's why we're living here on earth. It's interesting, Jesus, in talking about the rich man in hell, the story that he gave there, you remember something? What did the rich man have in hell? Let me ask you this. What did he not have that he had here on earth? Huh? Comfort. Okay, in relation to the three parts of the body, what did he not have? Which of the three parts of the body of personhood did he not have in hell? The body? Okay, his body probably was changed. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. What? Huh? He lift up his eyes. Oh, I'm not saying that there were any missing. I'm just asking you to think. But the main point that I wanted us to think about is he had his mind, he had his will, and he had his emotions. He said, Father Abraham, please, I've got brothers. That's his mind. He's thinking. He said, can't you send someone to help them? Yeah, all of a sudden, this guy, his will is changed. All his life he did his own will. Now he's thinking about some others once in a while. And his emotions are there. He said, I'm tormented. This is painful. It's not something I'm enjoying.
So it's interesting that we realize that this body returns to dust and will have an eternal body, either eternally punished or either eternally in the heavens. But it's just, when you start thinking about all these things and the implications and how they apply into our lives, and that's where we want to go. We want to look at the tabernacle and look at how that relates to us as people. And how God, we've often talked about the picture of redemption in the tabernacle, and it's there, it's important. But there's also a big picture there of who we are and how God looks at us and what His desires are for us. So let's just keep thinking and discovering what God intends for us. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank You that You have created us. We thank You that You've created us spirit, soul, and body. And Father, we want Your kingdom to come, Your will to be done in our spirit and our soul and our bodies. Help us, Lord, to see how those relate to each other and how important it is for each part of us to be yielded to Your Spirit, led by Your Spirit, directed by Your Spirit, taught of Your Spirit, and how that each part of us can be bringing glory to Your name and making Your name great. We thank You for this time in Your Word, and we pray You continue to bless us and direct us, Lord, for Your glory. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.